her weapon anywhere except on the range. She was a skilled shooter, but since 9/11, the FBI's emphasis was all about terrorism. She spent far more of her time sitting at a desk than she did out in the field, and had begun to regret the Quantico posting she'd been so excited about a few years ago. She sighed and tucked the field book away, then pulled out her cell phone and hit the callback on Penny's last message.
"Catherine?"
Penny answered almost before the phone had stopped ringing the first time.
"What's up, Penny? Did you—" "Something terrible's happened. Danny's missing."
Chapter 1. 2 weeks later, near the Minnesota-Wisconsin border. The huge SUVs were three black blurs of speed as they roared through the night. Lucas Donlin sat in the middle seat of the second SUV, listening to the chatter of his vampires, both around him and through his headset for those in the other trucks. They were hyped and ready for action, almost too hyped after the hours of travel to get this far. Even with a private jet, it took time. But they were here now, and Lucas was with his warriors and feeling the rush of impending battle, the pump of adrenaline as he prepared to fight to the death. It was a rare thing in this civilized world, with its laws and cameras everywhere. But tonight's confrontation would mark the beginning of a war between vampires, something this continent hadn't seen in nearly a century. And how better to start a war than with the death of a traitor? Alfonso Hines didn't know they were coming for him, but he would soon, and his fear would taste just as sweet as his blood. Maybe better. The trucks rolled down the unlit rural roads, running dark. The vampire drivers didn't need the lights to see by, and Lucas didn't want to advertise his presence to anyone yet, human or vampire. Not until he had his prey cornered. Alfonso Hines was sworn to Lucas, but had recently moved his entire household just over the border into Wisconsin, near the small college town of River Falls. It was no more than 30 miles from Minneapolis, but crossing the border between Minnesota and Wisconsin took him out of Lucas's Plains territory and into the territory of Lucas's enemy, the Lord of the Midwest, Clemens. Had Lucas needed it, Heinz's move over the border would have confirmed the vampire's guilt, but Lucas already knew he was guilty and needed no more evidence. In truth, if the traitor had known his betrayal had been discovered, he'd have moved much farther than a few miles over the border. As if a few miles, or a few thousand miles, would ever stop Lucas from exacting the justice he was due. This was war. Boundaries no longer mattered. But whether or not Heinz realized he'd been discovered, he would surely have a guard or two on lookout. Unfortunately for Heinz, most of the vampires hiding away with him were also sworn to Lucas, a fact that he clearly didn't fully appreciate, in terms of its ramifications for security. Lucas could drop any vampire sworn to him with nothing more than a thought. It was likely, of course, that one or two of Clemens's people would be in the house tonight, and they'd require close-up killing. But then, Lucas had no intention of winning this battle from a distance. He intended to punish the traitors in a very up-close and personal fashion. In fact, he hoped Heinz and his fellow miscreants put up one hell of a fight, because Lucas and his people were ready to rock and roll. The target house was big and wide, a two-story clapboard with a long covered front porch. The building was completely dark when the SUVs skidded on the light snow covering the dirt patch of a front yard. It appeared empty, with a large number of cars and trucks parked around back told a different story. Lucas sent a small tendril of power creeping into the house and found 13 vampires, all wide awake and jittery with nerves. By now, Heinz and his people knew Lucas had arrived, and they were probably wishing they'd hidden themselves a lot better than they had. Lucas reached forward and clapped his lieutenant on the shoulder, where he sat in the front passenger seat.
"Let's be polite, Nick. I'm sure Heinz and his minions will be excited as hell to receive a visit from their rightful lord and master."
Nicholas laughed and issued a few terse commands into his throat mic. The doors popped open on all three SUVs, and black-clad vampires poured out, deploying quickly to surround the house. Every one of them was a highly trained and powerful fighter. By virtue of their vampire blood, they were weapons unto themselves, but they also carried whatever human weapons they preferred, from 9mm handguns to compact submachine guns, and no doubt a knife or three thrown into the mix. Lucas himself carried no weapon other than the power which made him